An old man in Phoenix calls his son in New York and says, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son says. "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the old man said. "We're sick and tired of each other, and we're sick of talking about this. So call your sister in Chicago and tell her." And he hangs up the phone. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. "There's no way they're getting a divorce," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." She calls Phoenix immediately and tells the old man, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do anything. Do you hear me?" She hangs up. The old man hangs up the phone, and he turns to his wife smiling, and he says, "Great. They're coming home for Easter this year and paying their own way." Well, I ran across a story that really touched my heart this week, and I wanted to share it with you, so I hope it touches you the same way it does me. Philip was born with Down syndrome. He was a happy child, but there were a lot of differences between him and the other children his age. Philip went to Sunday school faithfully every week. He was in the third grade class with 9 other 8-year-old boys. And you know how 8-year-olds are. Philip, with his differences, was not readily accepted. And he wasn't really a part of the group. Well, his teacher had an idea for the class one Sunday. You know those little things that legs pantyhose come in? The little container shaped like a big egg. Well, the teacher had collected 10 of them. And he brought them into the room and gave one to each child. And it was a beautiful spring day, and the assignment was for each child to go outside and find a symbol of new life, put it into the egg, and bring it back to the classroom. They would then open their egg and share their symbol one by one. So they went, and they ran wild all around the church grounds, gathering their symbols and returning to the classroom. They put all their eggs on the table, and then the teacher began to open them as the children looked on. He opened one, and there was a flower. He opened another, and there was a little butterfly. He opened the third, and there was a leaf. The teacher opened the next one, but there was nothing inside. And the children, as 8-year-olds are prone to do, said, "That's stupid. Somebody didn't do it right." Then the teacher felt a tug on his shirt, and he looked down, and Philip said, "It's mine." And the other children said, "You don't ever do anything right, Philip. There's nothing in there." And Philip said, "I did so do it right. I did do it right. It's empty because the tomb is empty." You know, not long after that, Philip died. And at his memorial service, 9 8-year-old boys marched up to the front, not with flowers, but with empty plastic pantyhose eggs. You see, Philip was right, and they recognized it. There's no greater symbol for new life than the empty tomb. The message title this morning is "Empty Tomb, Yet Empty Heart." Now, I first want to talk to you about the empty tomb. So as I was praying about this week, God inspired me, as He always does, but He inspired me to talk about the empty tomb from the perspective of a man named Peter. Now, Peter was one of the 12 that Jesus had at his side during his time here on earth. He was one of the disciples. And in order to look at this situation through Peter's perspective, we have to back up just a little bit and look at some of the events that bring us to the empty tomb. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to have various scriptures, and I'm probably going to jump around a little bit. So if you want to follow me, you might want to write them down, because I'm going to have to move through them quick. But the first scripture I want to share with you is Mark chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him." Now, Peter followed Jesus for 3 years. He followed him, watching and learning. He was with him through the miracles, through the healings, the teaching. He watched as Jesus cast out demons. He saw Jesus walk on water, and he got to experience what it was like to do the same. But when Jesus was arrested and he was headed toward the crucifixion, I want you to see what Peter did. And this comes out of Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I don't know what you're saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered his word to Jesus and said, when he said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went away and wept bitterly. So here we have Peter, who was a follower of Christ and a man of action. You know, we can read in John chapter 18 where Peter cut off the ear of the servant who was trying to arrest Jesus. Yet he watched as this man that he loved so deeply, someone that he trusted and put his faith in, he stood by and allowed him to be nailed to the cross, to suffer and die. Not only that, but in the process, he denied Christ not once, not twice, but 3 times. And he did it to save himself. I would imagine that the day after the Sabbath, Peter was discouraged and confused. And I'm sure that he was wondering what in the world was happening. And he was probably repeating it over and over again in his head. How did this happen? This is not what I expected. And I'm sure that his heart was broken and his hope was shattered. Early that same morning, a group of women were headed to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid. They didn't have enough time after the crucifixion to prepare his body for burial. And according to Mark 16, as they got closer, suddenly the thought occurred to them, who is going to roll away the stone from in front of the door? But they kept going. When they got to the tomb, they found something that was totally unexpected. In Matthew 28, it says they found the soldiers that guarded the tomb lying on the ground, looking like they were dead. But the crazy part was that the stone had been rolled away. So they walked past the guard and they started into the tomb to see the body of Jesus. And an angel appeared and told them that Jesus was alive. He told them to go ahead and go into the tomb and see for themselves that Jesus' body wasn't there. And the angel told him to go tell the disciples And that's exactly what they did. Luke 24 tells us that when they got there, they began to excitedly tell the disciples all that they had seen and heard. But the disciples didn't believe. It sounded like idle tales to them. Guards that seemed to be dead and the stone was rolled away. Jesus alive. How is this even possible? It didn't make any sense. Even though it was confusing, John and Peter had to go to the tomb to see for themselves. So they took off to see what in the world was going on. Maybe they could figure out what had actually happened. You know, I'm sure that they believed that the tomb was empty. Obviously, they didn't doubt that part of the story, or they wouldn't have ran to the tomb. But they needed to decide for themselves why the tomb was empty. What in the world was going on? You know, this morning, all of us have to decide the same thing. You know, we can all agree that a man named Jesus walked this earth, and that man was nailed to a cross where he died. But now there's an empty tomb. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that. So the big question is, how will you respond? How will the empty tomb affect your life? Peter, he was a little slower getting to the tomb. John got there first. And maybe it was because John was a little younger than Peter. Maybe he was a little faster. Or maybe it was because Peter had a bum knee or his back was out or something like that. It could have been any number of reasons. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that maybe it was because Peter was afraid of what he might find. He wasn't afraid of the soldiers. We already discussed how he cut off the ear of one of the soldiers that tried to arrest Jesus. You see, Peter wanted to see Jesus, but there was a part of him that I believe was filled with fear and shame. The last time he looked in the eyes of Jesus was just after he had denied him. And if Peter saw Jesus, he knew he was going to be confronted with that sin and guilt. He wasn't sure that he could handle that. What would he say? What would he say to Jesus? Peter's mind was clouded by the pain that he felt over what he had done. He wanted Jesus to be alive, but he didn't know what he was going to do if he had to face him. Maybe you can relate to this morning. Maybe you started here today reluctantly because deep down you were afraid that you might have an encounter with Christ. Peter went in and examined the evidence for himself. He saw the cloth that had been wrapped around the body of Jesus. And he saw the piece that had been around his head. He knew that something had happened there, but what? He didn't see anything that would prove that Jesus was alive. In Luke chapter 24, it says that Peter was marveling to himself at what had happened. You know, I went into the Greek to look at that word, marveling. I found that in this case it was saying he was wondering to himself what had happened. He still didn't even know what was going on. John chapter 20, verse 9 says, "For yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." But then Peter did one of the most foolish things that he had ever done in his whole life. In Luke chapter 24, verse 10, it says, "He departed." He left. Something as important as this And he left without figuring out what actually happened. If Peter had hung out just a little while longer, he would have gotten to experience the same miracle that Mary was getting ready to see. There wasn't enough evidence because he didn't stick around long enough. If he would have stayed with Mary, he would have seen Jesus alive. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 16 says this, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She didn't know who he was. She didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She supposed him to have been the gardener. She said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will come and take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' He called her by name. And too many times, people don't have enough evidence to place their faith in Jesus for one simple reason. They don't stick around long enough to hear him call their name. They don't read his word. They don't spend enough time around God's people. They don't pray. They walk away before the miracle happens and they miss it. They don't stick around long enough to experience God's changing power. Do yourself a favor and wait on Christ. You know, Peter walked away from the empty tomb with his heart still broken and he was still confused. Some of you see the empty tomb and you don't know what you believe. There's something going on, but you don't know what. You say, "I don't understand all this religion stuff. I don't understand why people would willingly give up every Sunday morning and give up their time to come to church." There's only one way you'll ever understand. Stick around. Don't just come on Easter and Christmas. Come back again and again until you see the miracle of your own changed life. Come to the foot of the cross and stay for a while. Look into that empty tomb. Come back next Sunday and the Sunday after and the Sunday after that. Come back until you see Jesus. Don't be like Peter who went away with his heart still empty. Don't say no to Christ. Stick around long enough to have that encounter with him. You know, maybe, just maybe, there are others here this morning that come to church every once in a while. And you come on Christmas and Easter too, because deep down, you're not proud of who you've become. And you're scared to death that if you hang around, you might have an encounter with Christ. You can't help but think, what if? What if you stepped foot into this building and stayed around long enough to have that encounter? What if conviction came over you and you were faced with changing your life? As you think about it, all these feelings come over you. Feelings just like Peter, feelings of fear and confusion and maybe even hurt in some cases. But they make you nervous and anxious. In fact, as I'm saying these words, You can feel your heart beat just a little bit faster. And God is drawing you. You feel Him tugging on your heart. You feel the Spirit of God convicting you right now. And you're doing your best to ignore it. Just stop. Stop and have that encounter with Him. Hang out and experience His forgiveness. You'll find that it's one of the greatest things that you could ever do. You know, I know that the thought of change and fear of the unknown can be a powerful force in your mind. But what if you're missing out on the greatest thing that could ever happen to you? Will you stand with me this morning? As you stand, as always, I just ask that you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. And I want to talk to you. Because you see, the question still remains. How will you respond to the empty tomb? How will the empty tomb affect your life today? If you're one of those people that I was just talking about and you can feel Him tugging on your heart, in just a minute, there's going to be an invitation. And I want you to come forward and experience that forgiveness that Christ offers. It doesn't matter how far away He feels. You can never travel so far that God doesn't have the ability to reach out. Have that encounter today. Don't walk away confused with an empty, broken heart. Maybe you're one of those people, you don't know what you think of all this Christianity stuff. If that's you, I want to offer you a challenge. I want you to come back every Sunday for 6 weeks. Come back every Sunday for 6 weeks and see if that doesn't clear up. See if some of the confusion isn't remedied. Just commit to coming for 6 weeks in a row and see what happens. Don't take off just before something life-changing happens. Stick around. This morning, if you want to make that commitment, I want you to tell me. Tell me that you've made it. But maybe today you're here and you can say, you know, I haven't given my life to Christ. I haven't trusted Him for salvation, but I do feel Him tugging on my heart. If that's you, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and He died for you. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and that sin separates us from God. And that the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. Not only that, but 3 days later He rose from the grave conquering death. And the Bible says that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. You can leave here this morning and know that you're heaven bound. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. And this altar will be open to you. And if you have business with God, whether it be a praise or you want to turn your life over to Him or you want to rededicate your life, whatever it happens to be, this altar is going to be open for you. Father, today we come to You and we thank You for who You are. We thank You because we know that the tomb was empty and that Christ was raised from the dead. Father, today we're faced with a crisis of belief. Lord, our lives are at a crossroad. What does the empty tomb mean to each person here individually? What does it mean personally? Father, we pray that You're pointing that out right now. Father, we pray that You inspire and convict. We pray that Your will is done as this time of invitation is Yours to use as You see fit. It's in Jesus' name we come to You. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you. Whatever business you have with God, take care of it today.